Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. And for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Boy, this could be written today, couldn't it? There's a lot of people I know thinking that way. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will pray. I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, so, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will speak to us. God, I pray that you will overwhelm us with your joy. God, I just ask you to show us what you're thinking. Show us your ways, Lord. God, be with us. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, the Old Testament a lot of times is types and shadows showing us what's coming in the New Testament. This particular chapter is a type and shadow of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you how they all work together to get us where we need to go. But there are things, it is important to me. I want everybody to hear me. I want you to look at me. I want you to hear this. It is important to me that you be successful in life. It's important to me. I am a failure as a pastor if my people are not successful. That's the way I believe. It doesn't matter about how big a crowd you got to draw. I mean, we got a big church. We got about 3,000 people. Well, how many people you got to draw to impress God? God ain't impressed. My job is to see that you're successful. That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I preach about what I preach about. Like last week, we talked about hope. You will not make it in difficult times without hope. And I'm not talking about a wish. I'm not talking about I wish the Saints could win. I'm not talking about a wish I win the lottery. Hope is a confident expectation based upon the facts, the truth. My hope, I have an expectation, a hope, based on the truth of God's Word and who He is. I need hope. Because hopelessness, I just want to remind you, hopelessness brings three things we learned last week. Sorrow. It brings short-sightedness. You just live for the moment. You don't care what's going on. You know, people are raising children out of hopelessness. Because all they care about is just getting so they can live for their own happiness, not thinking of what they're doing to their children. Short-sightedness and selfishness. I just described basically what's... You realize the reason politicians won't do the right thing, all of them, most of them up there, I'm talking about Washington mainly, is because they're short-sighted, they're selfish, because they just want to get reelected. All they're doing is caring about themselves. Well, that right there is killing our country. It's killing marriages, killing all kinds of things, because we're hopeless. But when I have a hope, we go forward, because life goes through ebbs and flows. Amen. Life ain't always easy. Amen? Come on now. I really have a very short sermon, but I got to you got to get it. So I'm going to preach as long until you get it. All right? Life goes through ebbs and flows. It's a journey. All right? Life is a journey, and sometimes it's good times, and sometimes it ain't so good times. And so we need to learn to roll through them with two things. First of all, last week we talked about hope, and the Lord wouldn't leave me alone. He said, I want them to have, you have to have, if you're going to make it through life, you've got to have joy. The joy of the Lord is my what?
Strength
is what the Bible says. Some of us don't have any strength to endure because we have no joy. I mean, we're totally overwhelmed with the world and what's happening and all the things. We have no joy that gets us through. And I'm not talking about joy. I'm not talking about happy. Happiness comes and goes. Like I was happy the other night at about 10 when Krista, my daughter-in-law, said, I think we should go to Dairy Queen. Happiness flooded my soul. And then I said, let's do it. I had already visualized the blizzard I was getting. My mouth had already started to water. Happiness entered my soul. And then all of a sudden, she said, bought her stupid phone and said, it closed 10 minutes ago. Sadness entered my soul. I'm not talking about that, happy and sad, okay? Because that changes. I can be sad over some bad burritos. Amen? Or I can be happy, but I'm talking about joy that doesn't go anywhere no matter what the consequences are. No matter what's going on. No matter what's happening in Washington. No matter what's happening in your life. You can have joy. Because why? First of all, and not just joy, but exceeding joy. I mean, that verse said, the God of my exceeding joy. We ain't going to just have just enough. We need to have an overload. It needs to gush out of us. Not gosh out of us. Gush out of us. I got more joy than I need. You know why I know we got to have it? Because Jesus wants you to. Jesus wants you to have joy. And I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about joy. All right? Now, look at the verse. Let me show you just so you'll know it's His desire. John 15:11 says this. It says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be what? Come on now. Everybody say it. Full. I mean, gushing over. I mean, I'm spilling out on people. I mean, it's like you ever had a little kid that had an ice cream or a popsicle? I mean, he's got it in him, on him, around him, and everything he touches gets it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's fullness of joy right there. When they just eat a chocolate thing and it's all over their face and they're smiling, that's joy. Jesus wants you to have, look at that, it was His desire. Look at John 17:13. Now this is Jesus' prayer. Look what it says. But now I come. He is praying. John 17 is Jesus' prayer before He leaves. You want to read something? Read John 17. That is Jesus' heart opened up. He is praying to God. But now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my, what? Fulfilled in themselves. It's not only His desire for you to have joy, it's He's praying for you to have joy. Now, joy is spoken all through the Bible, but we're talking about His joy, above and beyond joy. Now, what is joy? What is joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What is that? Now, the word joy, you can just write this down. It's not, you know, well, it is up there. Excuse me. Todd did put it up there. Joy, the word literally means fullness, calm, delight. I love that word, calm, delight. Jonathan, you ever had a good meal? This is what calm, see, big people have food illustrations. Y'all just got to understand that. And you know, according to statistics, y'all better watch out because we're taking over. There's a lot more big people than there's little people now. So, going to be, anyway, I'll leave that alone. Calm delight. You ever had a great meal? And at the end, you order that cup of coffee and you sip in that coffee and you just sit back and you go, ooh, that's good. That's calm delight. Oh, just say it one time. Oh, that's good. That's calm delight. I'm going to make y'all all going to get up and leave. I'm talking about food so much. You'll be hungry. But understand that's what it means. But listen to me. You need to understand and let the Bible interpret the Bible. So Jesus gives us in Hebrews 12, Jesus gives us a little definition of what His joy is. Okay? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand. What is He saying there? That He knew, look at the first part. You got to read the verse. The author and what? Finisher. It is finished. I wish I could say that, you know. Anyway, like they do on the movies. Yeah, if we ever get technical enough, Todd, we'll do that. It is finished. And it'd be awesome. He started and He thinks He finished it. And for the joy set before Him, what was the joy? He was not only looking, John 17 tells us, He was not only looking at the ones He around, but the ones who would receive Christ. In other words, the joy of you. He knew you and me were going to have an opportunity to become the sons and daughters of God. And for that joy, that confidence, because He knew it was finished. He knew it was over, and now we have a way to be free, to be set free, to be delivered. There ain't no sin in hell is bigger than what He's already done. And for that joy, joy is a confidence and a trust. Joy, I mean, listen, joy is knowing. It's not worrying. I mean, listen to it. God laughs at the devil. The Bible says God laughs at the devil. And I got a prophetic word for some of you. I felt like it was the Lord, strong and true. Some of you are waiting for things to change. And God says laugh and healing will come. Now, that's a prophetic word this morning. Some of you need to laugh more. You stop laughing somewhere. Life got too heavy when the Bible says God laughs at the plans of the kings. I dwelled on that verse for about 30 minutes thinking about it. What does God's laughter sound like? I mean, it's got to be, it can't be a giggle. I mean, it's got to, I mean, Santa Claus ain't got nothing on it. I mean, it's got to be one of those big whiskey laughs. God laughs at the devil, and we're afraid of him. God's laughing, Jesus has joy, and we're afraid of him. Joy is knowing the future, victory. When I know, you ever played with a little kid? You know, and I hate this. I hate to tell on myself, but I'm going to tell on myself. I played ball with a lot of my little boys, you know, and I laugh with them. You know, let them think they're going to win. But something comes over me right at the end, and I slap them out of the way, and I win. I mean, I know that's terrible. I feel bad. But what I'm saying is, there was no anxiety in me. I knew I was winning. Joy is knowing that. Even when they were beating him, and Pilate told him, "Don't you know I have the power to set you free?" I know that Jesus smiled at him. He was a bloody mess and he smiled over him. "You ain't got nothing on me except what my daddy gave you." Joy is knowing the future. Joy is knowing the promises are true. Promises are true. If you know that, I'm not talking about head knowledge, you know it in your heart, then you know I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to make it through. Ain't no power in hell bigger than my God. The promise is true. That means he'll never leave me or forsake me. He'll always show me where to go. He hears my prayers. All those promises are true. The last one is knowing that I'm a part. Come on, baby. Listen, I knew who my daddy was in the flesh. My sons, every time they get stopped by a policeman, they instantly throw my name out. "Well, you know, I'm Brother Allen's son, Pastor Resurrection Life, you know." Especially, David, especially if it's a sheriff, they tell you know, sheriff's part of my dad's church. What are they doing? They know who they are. Man, why do we run and flee and scare and have turmoil and depression and anxiety over the future when Jesus had joy over it? Because we know I'm a part. Look, if anybody goes to heaven, I'm going. You go, "Well, that sounds very cocky." No, because I know it ain't got nothing to depend. See, some of you still think it depends on your performance. And it's daunting. It depends on Jesus' performance, and he did pretty good, and so I'm hanging on to him. That gives you joy. Now, how do I get that confidence? This is where the Trinity comes in. God was showing us the Trinity through Psalms 43. First thing is, number one, you need the revelation of the Father. Not who somebody told you. You need a revelation of the Father for yourself. You need not book knowledge. I had a Bible professor. I mean, he knew the Bible front and back. I don't even think he was saved. He knew the Bible, but he didn't know the Father. Jesus ain't going to ask what you know. He's going to ask, he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's who you know. Revelation comes. Listen, what does it say in Psalms 43? It said, when he was having a bad day, "Why are you letting the enemy? Why is this happening? Why are all the bad people prospering? Ah, they take it over. Ah." Like a lot of you watch the news and have fear well up inside of you. That's what was happening in the first two verses of Psalms 43. And then all of a sudden he said, "Let your light and your truth lead me to your presence, your tabernacle." All right, look what it says. Send out your light. Stop right there. Light, by definition, you let the Bible interpret the Bible. First time we see the word light is in Genesis, when God said, "Let there be light." Remember that? Let there be light. What he was saying was, because people think he created the sun then. But that's not true. The sun comes on a different verse. When he said, "Let there be light," we let the Bible interpret the Bible. In the New Testament it says, God is light and in him there is no darkness. So what was he saying? Let there be light. Let there be a revelation of me. He wants to reveal himself. He wants the light, when the light comes on, this is what I mean. You can know something, but all of a sudden, the light comes on. Where do we get that saying? A revelation of the Father. He wants to reveal himself. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him deep like Jesus knew him. Remember, we're praying what Jesus prayed. He wants you to know his love. He wants you to know his ways. He wants you to know his thoughts. God wants to reveal himself to you. Don't project what you think God is like. Let him reveal himself. And he, you know what he'll tell you? Why do you think God's against you? I'm still blown away how many Christians don't believe that God's for them. Well, I made mistakes. I mean, who amongst us can stand? I mean, even Amy would have been knocked down if you do it that way. Man, God's for you. If he wanted to get you, he'd get... Why is God let all this good, bad stuff? He was such a good God. When you get to know God, you'll be convinced he is good. He is good. You'll shout it, you'll know, and you go, what about all this bad stuff? What about the things that happened to me? It is the grace of God that you made it through. God turned over the world to man. That's all I need to say right there. He turned over a perfect world to man, and this is what we got. But he sent his son to straighten it out. You got to know he is desperately in love with you and wants to be with you. He wants to reveal himself as dad. Just like I love to tell my kids I love them all the time. And I reveal it through different ways and different things. It is a revelation that I absolutely count on. No matter what happens, I know Daddy God is for me. Why am I walking through this? Sin. Maybe not yours, somebody else's. It doesn't matter. But God, the Father, loves you. Second thing, that's God the Father. God the Son. Wait a minute. Look at John. Go ahead. Pull up John 17:3. 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in it, that their joy, my joy, Jesus' joy, might be in you. Not one time did Jesus ever get shook. Not one time. See, God, and a lot of times when God reveals himself, it doesn't take much. I'm going to do something. Y'all know I get a little crazy sometimes. It's okay. See, sometimes when God wants to reveal himself, I was praying for you this morning. And I said, Lord, if she's here, because you are a creature of habit and you sit in the same place. So that's how I knew you were here. See, when you have... Wait a minute, stand up. I'm not finished with you. The Lord spoke to me to tell you this morning. He wants to reveal himself. The good Father. He told me to tell you, it's going to be okay. you're going to make it through. You know what I'm saying? You're going to make it through. Right? God had me stop the sermon to reveal that He doesn't think about you the way you think about you. You're not going to have to fight this battle yourself. Just stop. Trust Him. Are you saved? You got Jesus in your heart? Well, then you're His daughter. Daddy's going to take care of His daughters. You don't have to take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Let joy, a calm delight come to your soul. That it's going to be okay. See, when you have experiences like that, all of a sudden you start living like that. All of a sudden it starts becoming real to you. Okay? Can I pray for you? Is that all right? You don't mind? Father, I thank you. The situation she's walking through is not bigger than you. You loved her before she was ever born. I ask you to call her by name. God, He's heard all the cries that you've made in the middle of the night. God's going to protect you and take care of you and provide for you. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Second thing. Amen. You don't have to know. Look. That word don't have to mean nothing to you. Y'all don't know what she's going through. I don't really know what she's going through, but God does. And He reveals Himself. He wants to love on people that need the love of God. And when you start feeling that and knowing that, you start walking with this joy. Next thing, you got to know the truth of the Son. What did He say in Psalms 43? Lead me with your light and your truth. Truth is a person. Didn't Jesus Christ say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Truth is a person. It's a person to have a relationship with. It's someone that you know that the promises that He made, the promises are true. They're not based on the facts. They're not based on anything else. Because I know Daddy God loves me and He has revealed His heart to me, that means His promises are true. That means His promises, that means when He said, I defeated sin, He wasn't kidding. Listen, everybody look at me. All sin is defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even the sins I'm going to commit next year, it's already covered by the blood. Oh, I feel that religious spirit rising up, them quills. Are you Brother Allen, you're telling them you can sin, do anything you want to? You know, that religion. Religion is the ugliest demon. Is that what you're saying? If that's what you're hearing, you're probably not even saved. Let me tell you what I hear. You know why I don't sleep around on Amy? You know why? Not because I lose my job. Not, although I have thought about this, you know. Not because I can't afford the child support. I'd be in the poorhouse for the rest of my life. I told Amy that about 10 years ago, we were having an argument. And I said, you know, we can never get a divorce. I'd be in the poorhouse. I mean, I'd have $5,000 a month child support. It'd be terrible. You know why I don't sleep around on her? Because I'm in love with her. See, part of your problem is you still one of those people that like, Brother Allen, how many beers can I have before I sin? How long, Brother Allen? How far can we go before it's considered sex? If you're walking like that, you need to go back a couple of steps. You'll never have the joy of the Lord. But I don't do that because I'm in love with it. I don't want to sin because I'm in love with God. Because He has revealed His heart to me and I fell in love with the Father. I don't want to do stuff that hurts Him. His promises of freedom. This is why I have hope for anybody. Because God has revealed His heart and His truth is true. That nothing Satan has invented is stronger than the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. I have hope for the worst sinner you know. I believe God can change any of them. Set them free. Facts don't change the truth. I don't care how bad the news tells you it is. We're winning. The last one. Is righteousness in the Spirit. Notice when you lead me with your light and your truth, I wind up in your presence. That's the Holy Spirit. I am righteous. And y'all know I ain't perfect. I am righteous. I am in right standing with God. Because I have been born again. I am His blood-bought son. I have access. I'm not alone. I'm never going to be alone. I'm not forsaken. No matter what I go through, He is going to be right there with me. And some of you are going, I don't feel God. Well, I'm going to get to you in just a second. Just hang on. I am an overcomer. Listen, Satan is only strong if you believe his lies. He can only control you if you believe his lies. I was being attacked. I know this is, the preacher shouldn't tell you all this, but sometimes the devil visits me, tries to overwhelm me, tries to get me down, tries to get me shook. All of a sudden, I rose up and I stood up in my office and I stood up and I'm sorry. All those on the internet listening, I'm sorry. I couldn't think of anything else to say. I stood up and said, Devil! You are a poo-poo head. And man, when I said that, I started laughing. I said, what 50-something-year-old man says poo-poo head? And then I got to realizing, well, he is a poo-poo head, and I am a child of God, and you're not going to influence me like that because I don't have to listen to poo-poo heads. Now, you might not find that theologically sound, but I find it very correct. I got to know who I am, the truth, what does it say about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is here to convict first of what? Righteousness. I am a child of God. He does hear my prayers. There are no stepchildren in God's kingdom. Satan is a poo-poo head. If you think I'm teaching your children bad words, I got worse. I can just tell you that. But I want you to understand, I am in right standing. I am an overcomer. If I die tomorrow, I win. At my funeral, I want everybody to say, well, he won. If I live a long time, I win. Why? Because the God of the universe is with me. He is walking me through, and he promises to direct my path. So as long as I keep my eyes on Him and don't let stuff overwhelm me, I'll have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, Jill. When you're walking through stuff, you never choose. The strength of the Lord carries you through. The strength of the Lord is what your joy is, my confidence. One more thing I want to say to you. Worship is important. All these things, reading the Word is important because it gives God an opportunity to reveal Himself. Because once you get to know God, you can know what's not God. Like, most of you, if somebody came to you and said, if somebody walked up to you and said, you are not going to believe, you know, somebody said to you, she ain't looking at me, you're not going to believe what Amy Hickman did. She was cussing somebody out at Walmart. What would you say? You've known her all your whole life. What would you say, really? You go, why? Because you know her. You know her. Now, if they told you Pastor Allen was, you might, well, I don't know. You know, there'd be a little debate. Amy don't even know cuss words. I've tried to teach her some, she just won't learn them. Do you understand? The reason that you won't believe it is because of what you know about her. Would to God that the Christians, the children of God, would rise up and go, that ain't my dad. Because of what we know about him. Quit taking all the devil's stuff. Because if he's a poo-poo head, all he dishes out is, there you go. Stop receiving it. And learn and have joy of what you know about the Father. Because you're going to need strength in the days to come. You're going to need strength to walk by. I'm going to give you two words I felt like the Lord gave me, and we're going to do a couple of them. Okay? I felt like the Lord told me, seriously, that there's healing waiting for some of you in laughter. You don't need to stop rehearsing the problems and start rehearsing what God says. The Bible says, what does the Bible say about laughter? It is good like a medicine. I felt like the Lord said that some of you need two things, that sin steals your joy. If you're walking in what you're not supposed to be walking in, it steals your joy. You know why? Because Christians should not be walking like non-Christians. And so you're walking in what you is not yours. My son is in Washington and his car is here, and so he had a half tank of gas, so I decided to burn it. Thought I'd return the favor. And it's a Honda Accord. I get in this car and I feel, first of all, I feel like I'm on the ground. I shut the door and I feel like a sardine in this car. And I looked at Amy and I said, this don't feel good to me. Some of you have lost your joy because you're walking in sin. You know it to be wrong, but if you keep going, it steals what God's trying to give you. Does that make sense? It steals your joy. Another thing, some of you are waiting to step out in faith, waiting for God to do it. You know God wants you to do something, whatever it is, forgive somebody, do something, step out in faith, but you're not doing it because you're waiting for God to do it all. Well, that's not faith. God says He wants you to walk in faith. You need to step out, and then a revelation comes. Does that make sense?